Psalm 119, verses 169 to 176, and the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet is Tau. Say Tau. T-A-U. Tau. 169. Verse 169 out of 176. Well, 169 inclusive to 176 is eight verses. This is your final eight-verse section. Wow. And next month we'll start all over again. No, just kidding. Amen. God's doing great things, isn't he? Amen. All right, we're going to look at this. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your promise. We thank you for David. We thank you for the Psalms. We thank you for this particular Psalm 119, which we've studied for months and months and months. Thank you for the richness of it, the richness of the and the value of sharing with us your word and the preeminence of your word and the value of your word and the various applications of your word to our circumstances and every situation. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you that your word is indwelling us, dwelling in us, the word of Christ dwelling in us richly. And Father, we ask you today that you would just continually fill us full of this promise, fill us full of this word, this covenant, Father, which is not just the law, but Lord God, the covenant is with Abraham. The covenant is with Adam and Eve, is that you're going to send a Redeemer that's going to bruise the head of the serpent. Father, we thank you for all the covenant of God. We thank you for all the covenant of God, which brings to us life eternal, life everlasting, life that will never depart, never go away, life abundant, overcoming life. Father, we give you glory for it. We thank you and praise you. Thank you that you just revealed to us more truth today. Father, thank you that you revealed to us truth that'll set us free. We're set free from the heart, but we need setting free from the head and our souls and our crazy thinking, the thinking that says that tries to get us to understand as if the world is ruling rather than God is ruling in our hearts and in our bodies and in our minds. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. Psalm 119, verse 169 says, "Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my cry come near before thee." So, do we apparently David cries. Do you ever cry? Like more than just wah. You could do that, you know. But you could cry. Let my cry, my desperate plea. God, help! Got to raise your voice a little bit. Put a little oomph behind it, you know, and that's your cry. God, help! Because we got some kind of distress or some kind of trouble, and you wanted to cry out. You know, and I think, here in this country, obviously, in this country, probably even Texas even better, is that you probably don't have opportunity, maybe that's not the right word, but much occasion to cry. I mean, you usually wake up, you got your coffee brewing, you know, and most of you get up and you've got a job waiting for you. You know, but there are people in other parts of the country, other parts of the world that wake up on the street. There's people in this country, not here in this room, I don't think, that wake up on the street and they're crying for their next meal. They don't know when the next meal is coming. Now, some folks, you know, we look at them and go, okay, well, that was your decision, you know, to wake up on the street because you didn't want to do what it took to get the job. But on the other hand, you don't know where people are coming from, do you? Amen. You don't know where people are coming from. You know, you don't know what circumstance led to their problem.
That's right.
Amen? Okay. So we just walk along and we just don't know why that guy's on the side of the road and having the difficulty that they're having. They got a sign that says, "Help me, help me." You know, anything will help. God bless you. We don't know if they know God from soap, you know. Certainly don't know soap. Hadn't seen soap in months. But you know, that person can cry. But crying is not just because of a known need. Crying can just be the fact that from the inside you're unsettled. Anybody been like that? Being unsettled on the inside. Being unsettled. And the Holy Spirit wants you to know that God has settled you. Amen? God has settled you. You are settled. You know, like a little child who's crying. Yeah, they really don't know why. They're just not quite right. But God puts His arm around you. God is, His presence is right with you. David knows that. Even though he's saying these words, cry, the fact that he cries, he knows where he's headed. He knows he's headed for the presence of God. Amen? You are headed for the presence of God. Every time you cry out, understand this, is you are headed for the presence of God. God hears your cry. He hears my cry. Whether I think that maybe, you know, I failed to perform, and that's usually most of the church, because the church got kind of caught in that trouble, is that you're thinking you have to perform so God will like you, or so God will be happy with you, or so your circumstance will improve quickly. Well, God, if you'd like me, my circumstance will improve quickly. No, God likes you already. Just because your circumstance is a mess doesn't mean that God didn't like you, and or God laid something on you or let something come your way because of something that you did or did not do. Well, how can I contort to have God like me again? See, people want to do that because they were taught that. They taught, you know, if I've done enough good stuff, I'll go to heaven. Or if I've done enough good stuff, bad stuff won't happen to me. The Bible doesn't promise that, does it? The Bible doesn't promise that. He promises that if you keep His covenant, all these blessings will chase you down. But it does not say that things will not happen to you in the world. Jesus said it plainly. Says, in the world you will have tribulation. People want to go back to Deuteronomy and say, well, here's the curses and here's the blessings. And if I do good, I get the blessings. And if I do bad, I get the curses. How come I thought I was doing good. How come I've got the curses? Well, let's go to the New Testament. What Jesus told you, and He told His disciples, He said, if you're in this world, you're going to have what? Tribulation. You're going to have tribulation in this world. There's a promise for you. Amen. There's a promise for you. In the world, but here's the solution. Be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world.
Hallelujah.
You ever wonder why all these seats in the front are all empty? I just wondered if you'd, you know. One day we'll get in here, we'll go flip the room. What would happen if we turned all the seats around facing Jack and we preached from there? I'm betting everybody would be back here.
Well, maybe you should get back there.
Let's put them in a circle.
That's it. What I'll do is just get back there right now and turn y'all around. Then y'all be on the front row. It just occurred to me. Just a thought. You know how thoughts do?
Move the podium closer.
Okay.
Good.
Stop right there. Okay, don't crane your neck.
I'm on the first row now.
Hey, you're on the front row, brother. Praise the Lord. That's it. We'll start roping off these front rows and make it look like it's supposed to be that way.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
That's
all right. So let my cry. So Dave's got an expectation. Let my cry come near to you. God, my cry is going to come. Let my cry come near to you, near before you. Oh, Lord, give me understanding. You know, He's ready for understanding. He's right there. God, hi. Let my cry come before you. Listen to my cry. And give me understanding according to your word. Psalm 18:6 says, in my distress, I called on the Lord. So in my distress, I called on the Lord, and cried unto my God, and he heard me. Well, see, listen, already David is confident. He heard me. He heard me. You know, God hears you. Judah, God hears you. You know, hey! Yeah, what? He heard you. He heard you. And he wants to be in your day. He wants to be in the middle of your day. Amen. He does. And he is. When you cry to him, he's right there.
Well, I didn't hear him.
No, it's okay. You don't need to hear him. He's right there. He's faithful. He's coming in. He's coming right into your prayer, right into where you are. I mean, he is in his spirit. Lives where does his spirit live? If you're born from above, it's right here. It lives right here. He lives in me. He's not off in the woods. He's not up in the sky. He is in my innermost being. Amen. In my distress, I called upon the Lord, and he cried to my God, and he heard me out of his holy temple, or out of his temple, and my cry came before him and even into his ears. Man, this thing just is good all the way. This psalm is good to the last drop. That's 18:6. Sorry, Psalm 18:6. That's the rest of Psalm 18:6. See, a lot of time you come in here, you got to write down the rest of the scriptures. Amen. All right, let's look at Psalm 30. Sometimes y'all get more than Fort Worth does because I look at it again, and I add more, and we just add more. The Holy Ghost adds more for y'all. Than other, adds more for y'all than other people.
That's good.
I can hear it now.
Amen. Because yeah, it's praise God. It's amazing. Thank God. See. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right. Psalm 30, verse 8 says, "I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication." Well, that'll be in the next verse. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Well, you're talking to God kind of uppity. You know, you're kind of uppity. Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? We're in Psalm 30. Just kind of referencing from Psalm 119. Psalm 30, verse 10, it says, "Hear, O Lord, hear, listen, and have mercy upon me, and be thou my helper. Thou hast turned me my mourning into dancing, and put off my sackcloth, and girded me with gladness." Put on the garment of praise. He girded you. He put clothing on you. To the end... for the purpose that my glory may sing praise to thee, and not be silent. O Lord my God, I give thanks unto thee forever. So that's what happens when your cry comes before the Lord. He meets you. Amen. He's meeting you. Do you have an expectation of that?
Yes.
Not like, well, I hope next time I cry, God speaks to me. No, you have to know that he responds. He responds because he birthed you by his own blood. These are the Psalms, but the fulfillment of the Psalms is Jesus Christ, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's who he is. That's what he's doing. He's in you. He's in you to be present. God's in you to be present.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God, here. Not God. Mark him absent. No, he's not absent. God is always present, an ever-present help in time of need. All right, Second Chronicle, again, they were referencing from verse 169 of Psalm 119. And these are references that I'm providing to you to help you broaden your understanding of that particular verse. Second Chronicles 20 verse 9 says, "If when evil comes upon us, as the sword, or judgment, or a pestilence, or a famine, we stand before this house, the house of God, and in your presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help." So he will hear and help. I have a full expectation of God's help. These are his promises. Amen? These are His promises. So I'm just tossing them out there to you. Just, you know, feeding the chickens, as it were. I know y'all don't think of yourselves as chickens, you know, but I'm feeding the chickens. I'm casting the seed. I'm putting the seed out there. I want to see it, or I'm casting the seed. Maybe this is better. I'm casting seed into good ground. Amen? Because I believe that you're receiving and you have good ground and you're ready to receive and you're ready to see the seed grow up. Well, is this prosperity teaching? Sure it is. Yeah, prosperity teaching. You're going to have seed. It's going to grow up, and you're going to be joyful, peaceful, and have no burdens, no worries, and you can tell somebody else about it, and they can see it on your face. Amen. Amen. You wake up, sunshine. You wake up, little Miss Sunshine, Mr. Sunshine, every single day is who you are. Amen. I mean, the sun shines from me. I'm not telling you that because I took a picture. I'm telling you that because this. I'm telling you that because this word is true. And as I meditate on it, it's changing me. It's changing my mind. My mind is changed. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away. I've been born again. More than a conqueror, that's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. That's a little song. Just a little ditty we used to sing. We put about 6 scriptures together. You're a new creation. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. All right. Proverbs, now we talked. He talks up here in this verse here, 169. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. We look to Proverbs 2, verse 3 through 5. Says, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, so call out for it. If thou seekest for her, understanding, as silver, and searchest for her as hid treasure. Seek for her as if it was silver, because he knows how much you like silver. How much you like money. So he just said you should search for her the same, for understanding, the same way you search for money. Because understanding of God's purpose and word, and his word and his purpose, is more valuable than that, than money. It'll get you money. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasure, then thou shalt understand the fear of... Then you shall, if you seek for understanding, you will understand you'll understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. All you got to do is seek. What did Matthew 6:33 said? Seek ye
first
the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these other things. Everything else will be added to you. Does it mean don't get up and go to work? Go to your desk in the morning or whatever, or go to your truck or whatever and go do? No, but is it when you get in that little seat, in the driver's seat, whether it's at your desk or in the truck, you get in your driver's seat and you begin to talk about God. You begin to talk to yourself. Amen. You begin to talk to yourself about God. You begin to talk to yourself about the fulfilled promises. Amen. Now, I know you like to listen to Fox News or some other news, you know. And you listen. I like to listen to worship music, but what I would recommend is talking to yourself instead of letting the radio talk to you. You talk to yourself to start with, amen. Talk to yourself. Good morning, self. You know how God is always. You're talking to yourself. You know how God is always for you and always going before you. Whether you're at your desk and you've got a phone or a computer that's doing stuff for you, or you've got your foot on the pedal and you're driving and doing whatever you're doing, is that the Holy Spirit is moving on the inside of you. Amen? Or you're going to the kids. You know, you're driving to the kids, and the kids are ready there, and they're ready to be ministered to and cared for, because the Holy Spirit is just a big outpouring of his love and his grace and his mercy upon a next generation of children who can... Yeah, anybody know kids who got into such a mess, or families who got into such a mess? If you have an opportunity to love a child or to minister to a child or give grace to a child and show them that love is on their side, that Jesus is on their side, that God... And you tell them that God loves them, you know? And that it is not something that they did or didn't do that made God love them. I mean, that was your problem. That was the problem you ran into, is God liked you based on what you did or didn't do. He doesn't. God did everything for you while we were yet sinners. Knowing. It's not like he read our resume and it was great and then he hired us and then, oh my gosh, he turned out to be a jerk. No, he knew you were a jerk coming into it. That's why he showed up. That's why he came in. God came in because he saw you and he knew you needed help because he loved you so much. Amen? So he's telling you, though, in his promise, in his word, he's telling you how to get free. It says, seek me with all your heart. Seek me with all your heart. Seek me with all your heart. All right? So, if you cry after knowledge, lift up your voice. You can preach out of one scripture. You know that? Anybody can do this. You can do this. But you just read it, you know. A lot of time we read the scripture so fast or we just read it, you know, and read a sentence and you just almost can't figure out where to go with it. No, we just use every word. Every word. Amen. We live by every sentence. No, we live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Well, the King James wasn't even the original version. That's okay. It's the version you got. It's the version that came to you. It's the best you have. So, you know, if you'll have faith in whatever version you have, you know, as long as it's not Mormon or JW, you know, Jehovah's Witness. I didn't want you to think JW was some guy I didn't like. You know. Yeah, you know JW, didn't you? Amen. All right. So you seek for her as silver, understanding. Search for her as hid treasure. Then you shall understand the fear of the Lord and the fear of God and find the knowledge of God. All right, that's Proverbs 2, 3 through 5. Y'all know that one quite well, I'm sure. James 1, 5 says, if any of you, anybody lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men. Who? How many men? People? All. Not just the good people. Not just his favorites. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. All man, that man there is every people, all people, every individual. And upbraideth not. What does that mean? That means he doesn't shout you down or he doesn't criticize you for not knowing, because he wanted you to come to him anyway. And that wisdom shall be given him. Amen. All right. Now let's look at verse 170. We're in Psalm 119, verse 170. Let my supplication. Previous verse said, let my cry come. Verse 170 said, next verse says, let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. Well, his word's got all kinds of accordings of how he's going to deliver you. And so when you supplicate or you ask or you bring your request to the Lord, he will do what? David's confidence is that he will deliver him according to his what?
Word.
According to his word. So the first two verses here we're looking at today say, according to thy word. According to thy word. So his word is important, is it?
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Let's look at Jeremiah 42. Verse 9. I don't know about y'all. Y'all may have a good Bible software, but Blue Letter Bible does it for me. BlueLetterBible.org does it for me. I know, you know, some folks have other ones. You know, I think Will's probably got one he uses, perhaps, and I know Raul's got two or three.
My sword.
Alex has got them. What?
My sword.
Amen. My sword for
Android's.
Alex's purpose. All right. Now look here. So let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to your word. Jeremiah 42 verse 9 through 12. says, and he said to them, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, unto whom ye sent me to present your supplication before him, if you will still abide in this land. So here's the here's what some guys have said. Hey, we wanted to get something done, and so we've sent to the man of God and to inquire of God for us. And he said to them, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, unto whom you sent me to present your supplication before the Lord, if you will still abide in this land, then will I build you. You remember we've read in Psalm 29 or Jeremiah 29 where, you know, it was being prophesied, well, you know what, we might get out before 70 years is up. You know, some guys were prophesying that because the Lord had said, you're going to be in this land captive for 70 years. And so, but what God told them in Jeremiah 29 was, y'all going to stay there, and here's what you're going to do. You're going to marry. You're going to build up the land. You're going to pray for the peace of that city. No, I don't want to pray for the peace of this crummy city. No, you pray for the peace of that city. Plant gardens. Build houses. In other words, plan on staying a while. Plan on staying a while, but I'll take care of you. But I'll take care of you. And then after 70 years have passed, I'll deliver you. And then, for I know the plans that I have for you. In other words, just because you're in a holding pattern right now doesn't mean that he doesn't know the plans he's already promised you. Amen? So they're in a holding pattern. They're in Babylon. And he tells them, just sit tight and in fact, act as if you're going to stay there for a while. Don't live out of boxes. Pastor Jim, when we first got here, Janet wasn't quite sure. We'd come from a big church in Tulsa. And, you know, and she didn't know Jim from a cake of soap. She didn't know Jim at all. Didn't know Jim. I'd known Jim all my life. So we come down here, and God had told us, you come down here and help these guys do this church. And we were in a big, nice church up there in Tulsa. And Janet probably lived out of boxes for about 2 years. She just wasn't quite sure. We had boxes still unpacked there in the apartment we had, you know. And I don't know, maybe she was just praying for a house. But didn't want to bother unpacking. But but God was telling these people, don't live out of boxes. Just stay there. Put your stuff on the wall. I've called you here. Here's where you're going to stay for a little while. Put stuff on the wall. You know, roll out your rugs. You know, you're going to stay here. And you're going to pray for the peace of this city. So a lot of times, you know, we had a gal I was in Tulsa this last week. I had a reunion for my class at Rhema, for Rhema Bible College, for 40 years.
Wow.
In fact, the way they do it is that the last digit in the year, they'll do like four decades. Because they're celebrating this year, they're celebrating 50 years in business. And so all the graduates from 1980, 90, 2000, and 2010. So they had a reunion for those 10-year groups, you know. So I better show up, because otherwise it would be another 10 years before I go to the next one, you know. And so I was there and doing that. And I can't remember where I was going with that story. But so we were up there, and one of the gals was teaching. Hagen's daughter, granddaughter, was teaching. She was great, great, just ministering out of her heart. And it just is really, I mean, she's just like real, you know, it was really good. Yeah, I was complaining to God the other day about the seasons. God showed me about seasons. Well, I don't like this season. I didn't like this season at all. This season I'm in, you know, and that's what they were in there. Is because, I mean, it was for their own fault, but it was the season that they were in, was God put them in this place, and they wasn't their favorite place. Amen. You know, you're in a place, but this may not be your favorite place. But you know one thing? God's with you. God didn't abandon them just because they were in Babylon. He's with them in Babylon. He's with you where you are. He's with you in that house you're in. Even though you want to be in a different house. I think Janet wants to be in a different house. You know, she comes and goes, you know, Cynthia. Kind of comes and goes, you know. And I didn't hear the Lord. Usually we'll hear God together. Well, it's time to do this. Yeah, amen, let's do it, you know. But a lot of time, if one of you is not in agreement, You just had to go back to God and say, well, you know, you don't try to bend the other person, especially if it's your husband or wife or some significant person who is invested in that same circumstance that you're in. Maybe you and Andrew, you know. And Andrew might say, Mom, I just don't feel it. I don't believe God's telling us to do that, you know. And so a lot of time, one of you or the other has a desperation on the inside. You ever notice that? You have a desperation on the inside, but that desperation doesn't necessarily mean that it's God. It just means you may be desperate for some other reason, and God's going to come speak to you. Thank God you have somebody with you, and that you have brothers and sisters, or your husband or wife or son or daughter, who can hear God and kind of say, well, you know, let's just pray about that. Let's just let that ride for a little bit, you know, rather than make an offer on this house, you know, that's going to put us in hock, you know, up to our eyeballs before we even decide how we're going to live the next phase of our life with finances and various things. There's several things happening before that, and so you don't want to move too fast to get yourself into another situation that may not turn out. You don't know what the future holds. Amen. So anyway, but seasons, this gal, Denise Hagen, was talking about it. She was talking about seasons. So she didn't like the season she's in. But that's okay, because God's with you. God's with you in the season, and there's a purpose for that season. Amen?
Yeah.
So don't complain. I mean, you can let God know you're uncomfortable with it, but say, God, I know that you've got me right here, and you got me in the palm of your hand, and you love me. So I cry to God, and I ask Him for wisdom. And He said He's going to give it to me. And I'm going to hear Him. Now, if I don't hear Him today, I'll hear Him tomorrow. So I'm just going to continue to praise Him and thank Him and walk with Him and know that I'm in the hand of God. He loves me so much, and I'm not afraid. Amen? He tore that curtain down and invited me into His house. He tore that veil in two. When Jesus died, He tore that veil in two and invited me right into His house. Amen? He didn't tell me I had to fix up or be good anymore. In fact, you know, he talks later in the New Testament about the law. The fact is, the law doesn't save anybody, never did. The law didn't save anybody, never did. Behaving doesn't save, isn't saving. Amen? Being saved is not about behaving properly. Actually, what the law does is just reflects what God looks like. The law just reflects what God looks like. And what he wants us to do is not look at the law. He wants to look in the perfect law of liberty. Who's that? Jesus. Mm-hmm. And then Jesus. Then we're changed.
Yes.
We're changed when we look at Jesus' finished sacrifice. So if you've got a big sin, I mean, you know, if you can put out the joint or stop going to see that person you're not supposed to be seeing today, and just thank God. But don't get under condemnation. Thank God that He's delivered you. Amen? Thank God that He's delivered you. Anytime you find yourself in a sin, just sit right up in the middle of it and say, God, thank you that you love me. And thank you that you've... Yeah, I mean, don't act as if He's not there. You know, get that look of terror on your face, you know, like God... No, God, He's right there with you. And He's loving you the whole way.
Amen.
He's loving you the whole way. Repentance is not about you changing something. It's about letting God change you. That's what repentance is about. Amen?
Yeah.
Praise God. Get out of chair two, which is hypocrisy, which is you doing it, or acting like you're doing it, and then get over into chair three. You just missed the chair. You were in sin, and you sat down into the hypocrisy chair. No, just scoot over. That wasn't really even a chair. That wasn't really a place to sit. That was like musical chairs and it was gone. You just fell on the floor. And you will move over into repentance, which is receiving God's promise. And then faith is stepping into the promise. Amen? Faith is stepping into the promise. Repentance is, I need help. That's really repentance is, I need help. Help! All right. Where were we? Jeremiah. Okay. So Jeremiah 42 said, and he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, unto whom you sent me to your supplication before him, if you will still abide in this land, then I will build you and not pull you down. I will plant you and I will not pluck you up, for I repent of the evil that I have done to you. Be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom you are afraid. Be not afraid of him, saith the Lord, for I am with you to save you and to deliver you from his hand. And I will show mercies unto you, and he may have mercy, that he, the king of Babylon, may have mercy upon you and cause you to return to your own land. And what did he do? He did that, you know. He did that. So he's going to do that. In other words, when he says, I will repent me of the evil that I've done to you, right there, he's going to say, I will turn it around. I will turn it around. In other words, you're there for a period of time, and I will turn it. At the given time, I'll turn it. Okay? So be not afraid of the king of Babylon, whom you're afraid. Okay? All the stuff that could happen, don't be afraid of it. And don't be afraid of him, saith the Lord, for I am with you. I am with you. I am with you to save you. Amen? All right, that was Jeremiah 42, verse 9 through 12. Now, Philippians 4, 6, if you're writing these down. Be careful, full of care for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. We're going to run out of time if I don't hurry up. Verse 171, Psalm 119, verse 171. My lips. I like to slow down when I read. Don't just read the whole thing. Slow down and see what he's talking about. What's he talking about? My lips. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your wisdom. Like James 1:5. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you have shown me your statutes. That you taught me. What are his statutes? The things he set in place. Statutes are statutory. Statutes are laws. Like in some of our Republican Party business, there's stuff that's in the election code that we absolutely have to do. Now, when we have a meeting for doing stuff we want to do, our rules say we have to have a quorum of so many people. We have to have 50% or 25% to do some business. State business, you know what a quorum is? One. You just go and do what the state told you to do. The statute. You do what the statute said to do. For you have taught me your statutes. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me your statutes. What do his statutes produce?
Righteousness.
Praise. Well, they produce righteousness, but they produce praise. My lips shall utter praise when you have taught me, when your statutes are part of my infrastructure. That's the result of it. Praise comes out of my mouth. When his statutes are part of me, are in me, I have been taught, I have been, you know, you put the roof on, that's part of the house. It's no longer a bunch of shingles on the ground. You know, when you put it in, it becomes part of the structure of the house. This is when he has taught you his statutes, praise comes out of your mouth. That's what they produce. His statutes, his word, his law, his judgments, his testimonies produce praise.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Psalm 105, verse 42 to 45. For he remembered his holy promise and Abraham his servant, and he brought forth his people with joy and his chosen with gladness, and gave them the lands of the heathen, and they inherited the labor of the people.
Hallelujah.
That they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Praise ye the Lord.
Jesus.
He brought forth his people with what? Joy. There's a song that goes with that, but I won't sing it. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. Deuteronomy 4, verse 5 and 6. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God has commanded me, that you should do so in the land where you go to possess it. So take them with you. I've taught you the statutes. Take them with you into the land where you go to possess it. Keep them, therefore, and do them. Remember what we said, keep, don't. He says, take them with you. So put them in a little bag. Put them before your eyes. Keep is to observe, to guard, to make sure that those statutes stay right in front of you. Remember how they used to put the Ten Commandments on the wall in the school? And kids would kind of look at that and go, ooh, guess better do that. Don't steal. Obey your parents. Honor your parents. Don't steal. Don't kill. Don't covet. They used to teach a kid what a covet was. Don't covet. Don't have inordinate desire for somebody else's stuff. Then you might back up to stealing it. But we used to put those things before your eyes. You know what? There's no longer there. Kind of a dumb idea if you ask me. You might as well just have the thing written down right in front of a kid. Don't steal. I mean, what's wrong with that? That helps out. That kind of put it right in front of you. That way you don't have to say to Johnny five times, don't steal. It's right there on the wall. Don't kill babies. That's right. Exactly. Don't kill. I mean, once they get it, they ought to have it up there when they get baby making age. Don't kill. Praise God. Don't commit adultery. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Don't take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Yeah. It's just reminders. It's not something that says, whether or not, okay, if you don't do this, you're not saved. If you don't do that, you're not saved. What it does say is, don't do that. Maybe you weren't even thinking of God and the whole thing came up right in front of your face. Don't do that. It could be like the Holy Ghost. Don't do that. It's just a reminder. Don't do that. It's wisdom. All right? So he says, keep those things. Keep therefore and do them. Verse 6. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations. Wow. When people see America, what do they see? Do they see righteousness or just everything everybody else is doing? Keep therefore these statutes and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes. They're going to hear them. Over in Isaiah 60 it says, nations shall come to thy light. What are y'all doing over there? Y'all seem to be doing well. What are y'all doing? Well, we're following God. We're loving Jesus. You can come. Anybody can come. Anybody can come love Jesus and follow Jesus. Which shall hear these statutes, and they shall say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Remember that Alex de Tocqueville guy, as long as back in the 17th century he came to America to check it out and say, how come that, man, this thing is blowing and going and it almost looked like Trump is president. I mean, it's blowing and going. Everything is going well. I mean, everything's on top of the world. I mean, Trump's going over to India and he's going to make a big deal with them today. He's heading over there, And so people are looking to you. People are looking, but it's righteousness. It's not because we're any good. It's because we exalt Jesus. We exalt the God of heaven who has delivered us by Jesus Christ. That's what that old meeting yesterday was all about, is that let's put people in who love God. Let's put people in who love God because it's in our power to do it. Because God gave us an opportunity. He said, well, you can choose your own leaders. Choose life. Well, that's a good scripture, isn't it, Joe? Choose life. I put before you life and death this day. That ought to be the abortion scripture. I put before you life and death. Well, you can do either one. Choose life. Well, thank God. I believe I will. So little Susie decides to choose life instead of death. You can write that on top. Put that poster out in front of every abortion clinic. Yeah. God says, I put before you life and death this day. Choose life. Yeah. That's true. Amen. I need to fix this thing where it doesn't go off all the time. Surely this nation, they're going to say, this great nation is a wise and understanding people. All right? Verse 172, Psalm 119, verse 172. My tongue, everybody say, my tongue.
My tongue
shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteous. Isaiah 50, verse 4 says, the Lord has, God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned.
Where's that again?
That's Isaiah 50, verse 4.
Oh, amen.
Isaiah 50, verse 4. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned. Ooh, thank you. Thank you, Lord. You're going to give me the tongue of the learned. In other words, I'm not going to say stupid stuff anymore. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Every time I go in, people are going to wonder, what's he going to say next? What's she going to say next? Because I'm waiting with my pencil to write it down. Whatever they're going to say next is going to be a blessing to me. Amen? That's you. And that's because you keep his commandments. You keep them. You got them right with you. They're in your heart, in your mind. The meditation of your heart is acceptable in his sight. Because he's your strength and he's your redeemer. Hallelujah. Amen. You're not listening to the voice of this world. You're listening to the voice of God. Hallelujah. Every day, the voice of God is... He's the one who gives me peace and joy and thanksgiving. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. Acts 4:29 says, and now, Lord... Acts 4:29, and Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness... they may speak thy word. So, Lord, so their threatenings are coming. Their threatenings are coming. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. All right? Praise the Lord. All right. So we're going to speak. My tongue is going to speak of his word. Amen? Praise the Lord. Love you, Joe. Read the rest of the psalm. Okay, he's all the way to the end. Psalm verse 173 says, let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. There's my expectation. Let your hand help me. Lord, you right there to help me? Yeah, because I've chosen your precepts. I've agreed with your precepts. I've agreed with your precepts. I found that his precepts are better than mine. I found his precepts, what's his precepts? His word, his testimony, his ways, all of these things. You know, you go back and read through this thing, you don't have to do it like I did it, you know, and stop, go look up 10 scriptures for every one that we looked up. But you just go, and now you just go back through it and maybe read it 8 verses at a time. And just let that sink in. I mean, don't read it in 1 minute, read it in 8 minutes. You know, give yourself a minute per verse. A minute per verse. There we go. So give yourself a minute per verse. Read it slowly. And let it sink in. Let it just rest in there. You know, it's like in my house, they made very berry waffles this morning. With maple syrup.
Why did you have them?
Huh? I did. I don't know what the occasion was, but we had them.
Berries.
Esther came over. I think Esther and Janet had a plan. You'll notice Janet is not here. So I don't know what...
She had to stay home with her shoe.
I think so. I think it blew her up. No, she wasn't feeling great. I think she had a lot of kids that were under the weather this week, and she was like, I'm going to get there tomorrow, so... So pray for her. But anyway, we had that wonderful berry waffle. You know what a very berry waffle is, right? Everybody knows that.
That sounds good.
My sense is like it's got a lot of berries on it. It's too wonderful. It's like the Bible says, it's too wonderful for me. Well, that was it. Let your hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. I've chosen his precepts. I have chosen that. Get back off the waffle. I have chosen thy precepts. So I know that his blessing is coming to me. Amen. Proverbs 1. Proverbs 1, verse 28. 233. Then shall they call upon me. They're talking, then he's talking God. They shall call me upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. So choose. Choose the fear of the Lord, because he can't hear you otherwise. They would have none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. Well, it sounds nasty, doesn't it? It's kind of like if you kind of missed what your parents taught you about behave yourself and don't go there and go, don't climb over that fence and go, don't go eat that stuff. Or don't go play with those kids. You know, well, no, I'm going to go ahead and do that. Well, you did it and you ended up in a big mess. Amen? Because somebody wiser than you said probably shouldn't do that. It's probably a good idea that you don't. Amen? You know, they say don't have sex before you're married. Why do they say that? Because you might result in a little baby. Amen. That you're not prepared to, that nobody's prepared to take care of. God made functionality in the world, didn't he? Didn't he make functionality? And if you turn on the machine that you're not prepared for the result, you got a problem. Amen. I mean, oh, stop! You know, it's like watching the Lucy show, and they had the candy manufacturer, and they turned up the speed, and it was going faster, and they couldn't even get it in the boxes, and it was all falling on the floor because the machinery was working just fine, but you weren't prepared for the output. Amen. God makes everything work just fine, but if you're not prepared for the output, don't turn it on. Amen. I mean, God's not he's not like a cosmic killjoy, you know.
God just doesn't want anybody to have any fun. So that's why he's mean.
No, he's smarter than you. Amen.
Yeah.
That was the word of the Lord.
Yes,
sir. Yeah, God tells you that. He says that, you know. Amen. Yeah, we're not trying to beat on people. We're just telling you what's wisdom. You know, we're just telling you what's wisdom. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, my sister, years ago, back in 1982, the first wedding I ever performed. First wedding I ever performed.
Wow.
And she had decided that she had moved in. She and her John had moved in together. And I told them they had to. Donna she had to go home for at least 3 months. Go home for 3 months. You know, before I married him. Back in 1982. I say 1982 because it makes it sound like a long time ago.
The year of our Lord.
It was a long time ago. Really was. What?
The year of our Lord.
Yeah, the year of our Lord. A.D. 1982 A.D. And she did. She obeyed. She did what I asked her to do. You know, I believe that was a blessing to them.
Yes.
Because that made a new thing. When they got married, it made a new thing. It was like, wow, this is like new, you know. And so I've done that, you know, in other circumstances, you know. And it makes for a new beginning. You know, God's not mad at you. You just didn't know any better. Amen. It's a lot of things we do is the world doesn't know any better. The world doesn't know any better. So that's fine. It's not a big deal. It's not a big deal in the sense that God. But what it does do is keep you out of mischief. Mischief. Y'all know about mischief? Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, God can keep you out of mischief. Amen. It's powerful. Amen. Everybody knows I love them, right?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Thank God. He that hearkeneth unto me, last verse in Proverbs 1:33, but whoso hearkeneth to me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Amen. Okay. So, verse 174. I have longed for your salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. I'm going to try to go fast here. I have longed for your salvation, O Lord, for thy law is my delight. We've read that before. Is his law is your delight, right? Psalm 119, verse 43, backing up a little bit there in the psalm. Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me. That ever happened to you? Yet thy commandments are my delight. So when trouble and anguish take hold on you, oh my gosh, here it comes, it's trouble, and it takes hold of you. Yet your commandments are my delight. Get back to his commandments. Again, his commandments are not like what did you do or you didn't do. That's not it. His commandments are the whole body of his promise toward you. His commandments are, what are his commandments? Are his commandments do this and don't do that, or I will or won't love you? No. His commandments are what exists in the world and what is, and as you walk with understanding that God's promises in Christ are yes and amen, and touching the hot stove doesn't work, that's wisdom. So his laws are in place. If you recognize his laws are in place, and you kind of follow them along, you know, go ahead and follow it along, you know what? His laws are your delight. Everything turns out perfect. I almost didn't say it, but I'm going to say it. Everything turns out perfect. Everything turns out perfect. Why? Because you're looking from the inside of you out. Now, outside may not look perfect, but from the inside, it's all happening. Amen? It's all going on. You know, there's nothing that he hasn't recognized that he hasn't taken care of for you. Nothing. That's killed a fly. No. There's nothing. I slapped on the pulpit. There's nothing that God hasn't already taken care of for you. Well, it doesn't look like it. Well, quit looking. Well, it's really big and bad. It's bigger and worse than anything you ever had. Probably so. You're talking to me. Whatever I had is bigger and worse than anything you ever had. It probably is. But you know what? One thing I know is God's word is true. And if you trust him and listen to his promise and follow his promise, you'll be so blessed. The blessing of God is going to come and chase you down. Just like Deuteronomy 28 said, it's going to the blessing of God. They're going to come down and chase you down and overtake you.
Amen.
But you're saying, I like the thing that I got. No, well, you don't even know because you hadn't tried anything else. You just tried what the world said is okay. Why don't you try what God said? You know what? I think you'll be blessed. I think the kingdom of God is going to be bigger and better than anything you ever saw. Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, and thy commandments are my delight. All right? Psalm 1, of course, Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2 is, as everybody knows, bring it back. Psalm 1. Verses 1, blessed is the man that walketh not. So you're blessed if you don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. You're blessed if you do three. If you don't do three things. You're blessed if you don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, you don't stand in the way of sinners, and you don't sit in the seat of the scornful. But you're blessed, in addition, you're blessed if, on the positive, that your delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law do you meditate both day and night. Day and night. So blessed is the man that walketh not in these three things. Blessed are you if you don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. The counsel, that means what they say and what they suggest and recommend. Or you don't stand in the way of sinners, stand in where you stand in line with them, you know, and say, okay, they say, what are we doing up here? Okay, I'm just standing in this line. I'm moving on up. I'm going to get whatever you're standing in. I like to say you're standing in line with sinners, and you don't know what you get when you get up to the window. You're standing in the wrong line. You need to stand in God's line. Don't stand in their line. Okay? And nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Don't just be settled in scorn, in anger, hatred, and despair. Sitting in the seat of the scornful. Well, I'm going to sit here in this seat right here, this seat with the rest of these people who are just angry, bitter, and hateful, and I think that'll help me. No, it won't. Won't help you a bit. Why don't you forgive? Right now, just forgive. Amen? Thank God. But, rather, blessed is the man whose delight ends in the law of the Lord, and in His law does he meditate both day and night. 176 verses. There's your meditation. 176 verses. In His law does He meditate both day and night. Psalm 119 verse 81 says, "My soul faints for Thy salvation, but I hope in Thy word." You have a soul, that's your mind, your will, and your emotions, that's typically kind of, oh, it's kind of worn out. God, when's your salvation coming? But right on the same token, I, who's I? Your spirit man, born of God. Born again through the Holy Spirit. I hope in Your word. So like that scripture over there, it says, what is it, Psalm 42? No, it's Isaiah. I think it's Isaiah. Anyway, why are you disquieted in my... what is it? Quick, help me. Soul, bless soul. Why are you disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. Why are you cast down, O my soul? There it is. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. So you're telling your soul what to do. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Who redeems thy life from destruction? Who crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Amen. That's who you are. That's who you are. Romans 7, verse 22. Good thing I don't have to go to Fort Worth. Romans 7, verse 22. "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law working in my members, my hands and feet, and my body and my mind, warring against the law of my mind, my renewed mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members, which is in my, you know, my hands and feet. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" So you're having this big struggle between your mind and the Word of God, which is living on the inside of you. "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself," it's talking about the renewed mind, "with my mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." Sin still happens. So we just confess. Say, "Father, thank You that You forgave that." You know what confession is? "Oh God, please forgive me." That's not it. You know what confession is? "Oh God, thank You that You forgive me. Thank You that You and You empower me to stay." Who's going to deliver me from the body of this death? It's the Holy Ghost. It's the living God living on the inside of you. Says, and He gives you strength to just stand in where God told you to stand. Where God said stand, you stand. Having done all, stand therefore, having had your loins girt about with truth. Amen? Having your loins girt about with truth. Stand therefore. Having your brow on the breastplate of righteousness. The girdle of truth. The shoes of the gospel of peace. Stand with the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith. Having done all, stand. Stand. All of those things are the Word of God. All those things are the promises of God. You're standing because you're already fully equipped. Amen? So two more verses to go with respect to the 119. Verse 175 says, "Let my soul live, and it shall praise Thee. Let Thy righteous judgment help me." Psalm 42:11 says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him, who is the health of my countenance," of my face. My countenance is what you see. He's the health of my countenance. Psalm 142, verse 7, bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about after thou shalt deal bountifully with me. I'll read that again. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Psalm 139, verse 14 says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. I know that for sure. I know that for sure. I'm going to read the verse 175 again to reference it back. It says, let my soul live, and it shall praise thee. Let my soul live. That's that part of me that is being renewed. Let it live. Let thy righteous judgments help me. They'll help you. His promises will help you. Jeremiah 20, verse 13 says, sing unto the Lord. Praise ye the Lord, for he has delivered the soul of the poor from the hand of evildoers. The soul. He's delivered your soul from the hand of evildoers. People who would do you harm or do you evil, do you wickedly. You know, some of that is just delivering your mind. You know, your mind will mess you up if you just think that the evildoers get to win. You know, if you're just always constantly concerned about what somebody else is doing and they're not doing blessing towards you, they're doing evil towards you, and you act as if that's going to get your goat and fix your wagon and send you off the cliff. No, it's not. Because you've trusted in God. And He's on your side. He's on your side. He's on your behalf. Well, it looks like God missed His opportunity. Well, that's okay. He knows every opportunity that He has. And His promise is He's going to bless you, love you, care for you, take care of you. In the world, you know, God said, you're going to have trouble, brother. Well, yeah, but He said also, be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world and you're in me. Look at John 17. It says, you're in me, just like the Father. You're in me, I'm in us, we're in them, and, you know, we have fellowship one with another. Last verse. Everybody say last verse.
Last verse.
Wow. Woo! Let's have a party right here. Last verse, 176. 176. I have gone astray. This is a bad verse. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. What? This is David at the last verse in this psalm.
What?
I have gone astray like a lost sheep.
Sounds like
do do do. You know, just kind of wandering out here like the little sheep. You know, I just have gone. I just went astray. Where'd you go? You ever seen like a little 4-year-old? They just off, going off into the distance. You know, if you don't keep an eye on them, they just go off into the distance. And they'll finally figure out by the time nobody's around, whoa, what's mom? I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget your commandments. So His commandments, you know, even if you've gone astray, His commandments are all, like a homing device. GPS. You know, if it's like a GPS, you know, or a backward GPS, you know, the kind that they can find you. Yeah. God can find you. He says, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant. He's talking to God. For I do not forget your commandments. Seek me. God, will you come find me? Amen.
Yeah,
you know God will come find you. This is the last verse of this song. Says, I've gone astray like a lost sheep, but seek me because I do not forget your commandments. God, can you come find me? I don't know where I'm at. I don't know how to get back. If you don't know how to get back, this is how to get back. It should put His commandments on the inside of you. Amen. God, seek for me as a lost sheep. Let's look at Ezekiel 34. I said last verse, but I meant the last verse in the psalm. Hope you're writing some of these scriptures down.
Mm-hmm.
Ezekiel 34, verse 6, and then 16. My sheep wandered to all the mountains, upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Go down to verse 16. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and I will bind up that which was broken. Yep. And I will strengthen that which was sick, but I will destroy the fat and the strong, and I will feed them with judgment. So, in other words, you know, just repent. Just say, don't try to save yourself. Just say, let Jesus save you.
Where are we?
16. 34, 16. Ezekiel 34, 6, and then 16.
Okay.
So we skip down. Verse 6 and then 16. So he said, I will seek that which is lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and I will bind up that which was broken, and strengthen that which was sick. But I'll destroy the fat and the strong. No, the fat and the strong, they're really not fat and strong. They're just rebellious. And what happens to you is you just wandered off and fell off the cliff because you didn't listen. And you were determined. You just forsaken the finished work of God. Amen. So Luke chapter 15, verse 4. What man of you having 100 sheep, Jesus said, if he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which was lost until he find it? And when he has found it, he laid it on his shoulders, rejoicing. So when Jesus got out to you, did he slap the sheep? Did Jesus slap the sheep when he found him?
Never.
Dumb sheep. No. he did not. He said, laid it on his shoulders, rejoicing.
Yes.
And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I found the sheep, my sheep, which was lost. He's enjoying, he's loving his sheep.
Yep.
Luke 15. Verse 7, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents, more than over the 99 just persons who need no repentance, which is none. There aren't any. There aren't any that need no repentance. But joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. What's repenting? Finding
comfort.
Finding comfort. Amen. Finding. Ooh, Jesus died for me. Glory to God. Amen. He found me. Lord, thank you that you found me. Delivered me. Brought me in. 1 Peter 2:25 says, you were as sheep gone astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. Psalm 119:93, I will never forget thy precepts. For with them thou hast quickened me. Remember the last part of that verse said, I will not, for I do not forget thy commandments. So that's 119:93 is, I will never forget your precepts. For with them thou hast quickened me, made me alive. Proverbs 3:1 says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. And let's look finally at Psalm 78, verse 1 through 7. This will be, and then Psalm 78, 1 through 7. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth at a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from our children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He has done. For He established a testimony in Jacob, appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. That's what God says about His Word, is to keep it and to share it with the next generation, to give it to our children. Our children are just our children born out of our loins? No. Our children are also those who are born of God, but yet have not been taught properly. But they've been taught that they have to perform something or do something to make God love them. No. You let people know. You let people know that God loves you and He's filling you with His Word and He's changing you. Now here's your homework, is read the whole of Psalm 78. Read the rest of it. And I'll read the last three things I'm going to read is Psalm 119, verses 1 and 2. And then Psalm 119, verse 176. The first two verses that we read at the very beginning says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies, and they that seek Him with the whole heart." And finally, verse 176 again. "I have gone astray like a sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments." Father, we just thank you. We thank you for your love for us as sheep who have gone astray, and yet you came and found us and picked all the ticks off of us and combed us out, cared for us, kept us from the wolves. We thank you that we are the undefiled in the way because we walk in the law of the Lord. And that Romans 8 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those of us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life has made me free from the law of sin and death." And that the power of God, the love of God, and the Word of God dwell in our hearts and we delight in them. "My delight is in the law of the Lord. Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law does he meditate both day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Father, we thank you for this great, great, great revelation of your word and your promise. Father, I thank you that no one walks out of this place today in any kind of condemnation, but Lord God, they walk out with just the love of God overwhelming and overtaking you, knowing that He has taught you His statutes, and joy comes forth from your mouth. Peace comes forth from your soul. And that we meditate upon these things day and night, knowing that He is transforming us, changing us into His image, and causing us to affect this world and the people whom we come in contact with. You've given us a ministry, the ministry of reconciliation. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.